When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said. Done.
Hello there, the angel from my nightmare, the shadow.
John, this is the day that we feared might come, suspected might come, and still, that doesn't make it any easier to swallow.
Yeah, I've never lived in a city that has lost such a beloved hero before. He's still alive and everything, but a sports figure that meant so much to the community. I know it happens, but I've never been in the city in which it has happened. And man, it's undeniably a bummer.
Yeah, I was a huge Magic fan when we lost Shaq, but we only had him for a couple of years. It wasn't like, I mean, he certainly put Orlando on the map and made a splash, but it wasn't like he was here for 16 years, you know? And that part of it, it's just a bummer. There's no way to say it. I don't know that it's healthy to look for blame or anything like that, but Steven Stamkos today, first day of free agency, signed with the Nashville Sexual Predators and will now leave Tampa Bay. He and his family will live in Smashville.
I think the part that that really, really hurts is I think it's very clear to see he didn't want to leave. Like, I think that is the part that really, really hurts. And, you know, you're in this weird place now where you don't want your new team feeling like you're pining away for your old team. So I don't think we'll hear too much of it. It's just because that's how hockey guys and that's how Steven Stamkos operates. But undeniably, I don't think he wanted to leave. I think he wanted to retire a Bolt and play his whole career in Tampa.
Yeah. And the business aspect of it, the Bolts probably weren't going to offer him the money that he felt he deserved, and he could get more money, a lot more money, going someplace else. Would he have taken less money to stay here? Probably. But the offer that we made wasn't significant enough. We kind of think, and we don't have any inside info. We don't know anything from the organization. All I know is we'll speak to new Lightning player Jake Guentzel at 2:30, but I get the feeling it all kind of fell apart when they didn't sign him to an extension before this season.
Well, remember, we broadcast from the first game, the home opener for the Lightning, and we were blown away. And it wasn't super spicy, but we were blown away that right off the get, Stammer was, hey, they're not reaching out to me. I would have thought we would have already been talking. We'd love to have an extension. For a hockey player, especially for Stamkos, that seemed out of character and seemed like he was riled up. And you just have to wonder if that didn't start the ball of animosity rolling from the Lightning's perspective.
Sure, because hockey is a very tight-lipped sport. You don't see a lot of people speaking publicly about things like that. And when he did, maybe it ruffled some feathers and things were like, all right, you know, we'll deal with it at the end of the season. And by that time, maybe he felt a little bit miffed. Maybe he felt a little unappreciated, and doesn't really matter because he's headed to Nashville.
Are there any instances? Now, I realize this is the sky is falling talk, but you know, sure, that's where my mind goes. Like, yep, are there any instances of like a player leaving a franchise beginning to spell the end for that era? Because I mean, let's face it, we already were having to live with the fact that we're outside of that back-to-back cup era and things were changing. You know, Julien Brisebois made some moves last year that, mm-hmm, I don't think really turned out the way anybody would have liked. And now with Stammer being gone, are we in a rebuilding era? Like, what exactly are we to look to when the guy who I think has been the identity of this team in so many different ways is now gone?
It's a great question and a fair question, but I think anyone in the organization would tell you that the goal is to make the playoffs and to win Stanley Cup. Yeah. There's no rebuilding.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, yeah, exactly. From our perspective, you look at the moves and what's panned out and what hasn't, you go, all right, can we compete? But I think every guy on that roster wants the cup.
And I think that is the thing. I think that the identity of Steven Stamkos and the Tampa Bay Lightning as a whole over these past 10 years have been they are one and the same. Mm. You know what I mean? What does this team look like? Who is this team without our captain, the guy who has entrenched himself in this community, been a wonderful citizen, not only on the ice, but off the ice. And we were talking before the show about, hopefully there'll be a documentary made one day about what happened in the bubble the year that we won the cup, where he left the team. There were rumors of personal stuff while nursing an injury and still getting out there and being with his team. I hope one day all of the things that he did and overcame will be documented properly so that we can know about it and appreciate him for the great that he is.
Yeah, same. And once all of the hurt wears off, it'll be nice when Nashville comes back to town and we get to send him off like he deserves. No matter what, the guy gave his heart and soul. The guy defined winning with class while he was here. And we've got great players, no doubt about it. And we'll speak to one of them at 2:30. But this is not just a loss for hockey, but I think a loss for the Tampa Bay community.
Yeah,
and anybody who ever got to spend time with this guy, whether it was your kids or in our case at a charity event, you walk away just going, this is one of the most humble, genuine superstars of any sport you could ever want to meet.
And I think that's maybe the biggest question is, let's face the fact, he was maybe slowing down a little bit, but through the playoff run looked as good as he's ever looked.
Yeah.
Like there's not been a fall off the cliff, but let's just say we know he's getting older and those days are coming. How much tangible, I guess, financial equity do you build up when you are that good for so long, not only on the ice, but in the community? Not even just in the community, but in the locker room, to where I think as a leader and just as a human being in this city, having taken those sweetheart deals in the past, like that clearly does not build you up any actual tangible financial benefit with the team.
It doesn't. And, you know, we look on the outside and think that it should, but the organization just looks at, here is what you are worth to us going forward. You know what I mean? Like, all the community stuff is great. You're a super nice dude. We love you here. You have Tampa identity. But really, all that matters is that they didn't feel like they would want to pay him what Nashville was willing to pay him, or even close. And, you know, you can look at it from the outside and say this side should have handled it better, that side. I don't know enough about the inner workings of it to really say that anything was handled poorly. It sucks to lose a guy like that. But do you then what, overpay and hamstring your team and its future to hold on to a guy just to hold on to a guy? I don't know that you do.
I don't know. I mean, to me, it just seems like it's all closer than that. You know what I mean? Like the chess pieces, you know, getting McDonagh back now, that was a move that was made that maybe if it doesn't happen or if it's a little different, it's off by a couple million, then you've got those extra mills. So it's just it obviously, when I passed Mike Olivero in the hallway, he said, this is what sports do. They break your heart.
Yeah.
And whether it's your team losing and being, you know, taken out of the playoffs by the Panthers in the first round, or, you know, the guy that has pretty much epitomized being a Bolt for almost a decade is gone. It's always going to break your heart at some point.
Yeah, and loyalty, whatever that is long gone in sports. From the owner's side, from the player's side, it used to be it was shocking when a player would leave a team that built them. When like Larry Bird was with Boston, there was never any talk of him leaving. Tom Brady leaving New England to come here was pretty substantial.
And maybe that's why this one feels different, because if you read between the lines, that loyalty did run through the veins of Steven Stamkos, and he didn't want to go anywhere else. And I think often it's maybe the other way around, which, again, he's still got to get paid. And he made the decision to leave and not take the offer that was on the table. So take that for what it's worth. But it's just, I think when it's the organization making that decision and not the player, it's easier to go, well, look, this is a multi, you know, billion dollar corporation. I mean, yeah, depending on how you look at the whole Vinick operation, it's I think it's easier to point fingers at the Lightning than it is a human being, especially in this case.
Sure. Before we go any further, congratulations to Cat Named Mo, yeah, to Everett, to Spike, to that, yeah, dude who hosted.
Oh, yeah. I asked for his name because I thought he was so damn funny.
He was good.
He said Machado. I don't know if he goes by just one name, but his name was Machado. And, dude, can I tell you, when he got up there to host and he started like going right in on the bone, I thought it was just going to be a bone roast.
Yeah,
I thought
same.
He was just going to start going around the room and roasting every personality from the bone.
Yeah.
But, dude, I was thoroughly impressed with everybody.
Yeah.
I thought that Everett did a great job, but really the unknown factor of Spike, I thought Spike did so damn good. I don't know. Everything I thought I knew about Spike, I don't know anymore based on the performance that he gave yesterday.
It was fun. It was a great evening out. Yeah. Spike was great.
I mean, it just, so many little things like the timing and the
style.
I just didn't think he had it in him. And Mo, obviously a pro of pros,
oh,
and
man.
He had a great set, and his parody songs that, you know, may or may not have had a tough time getting going at times.
Oh, man.
But it was a lot of fun. Everybody was very, very funny.
Yeah, congratulations to Mo and everybody at Side Splitters. It was just a fantastic time, and real proud of everybody. Thanks very much for including us. Yep. It was a really good time.
Yeah, a lot of cool people out there, too.
Yeah.
Died in Your Arms. Mike was great. Chicken, yep. The Chicken Man that
chicken
we sat
was great.
Next to. Johnny, who we met on the way out, who was beyond kind.
Yeah.
Thank you. Everybody there was so damn cool.
Yeah, all y'all, thank you so much for the warm welcome you gave us, and congrats to Mo, who filmed a very funny comedy special.
I am now in a new category where I have to borderline believe a lot of what Spike does is a persona. Because it just felt like so many times during that bit, like he just was so self-aware, and then the jokes that he had, it just, and I hope he doesn't take this as a diss in itself, I was surprised that he could go to that place. Dude, when he was doing the joke about having to escape from the hospital,
yeah,
and like banging his wrist on the, I thought that was hilarious.
Very
I didn't
funny.
Know that he had I did not know that he had some of those jokes in him.
Yeah, he was great. Mo's style is just unlike anybody else's. He's so at ease up there. Everybody at Side Splitters was super nice. Our server was freaking phenomenal, very quick, and all in all, just a great friggin' night, and it meant a lot to be included. We were next to Spanish and Ian Beckles and Tom the Tree Man. That was cool.
Dude, that was the other reoccurring theme is Mo trashing Ian. They're friends, right? They're actually friends.
I hope so.
Well, it's interesting because we got in the car and Danielle goes, "Do they not like each other?" And I think I may have missed it this morning because I think Ian was on with Mike and I believe Mo called in. But like I kept looking at Ian to read his vibe. It wasn't like he was laughing. Like I don't know that he was enraged, but
yeah,
there was this reoccurring theme where Mo would just go back to trashing Ian, pretty much saying he's the biggest dude in the room and it's like prison, you got to take him out. And I kept just kind of looking at Ian. He I couldn't tell if he was enjoying that.
Me either. I would hope that they would be good with each other, and that's why Mo did that, but I don't know.
I didn't know if he just shot Ian a tat. Because if I was going to be the reoccurring burial, I would think maybe you just shoot me a text
sure.
and say, hey, you're this bit that I'm working in. I'm going to trash you like repeatedly throughout the night.
Right. But, you know, you never know.
Yeah, and again, maybe they're good enough friends to where he didn't need to do that. I can only go off of the look that Ian Beckles had on his face, and it wasn't always laughter.
It wasn't. And, yeah, still a great time to be had by all. I think everybody in that room was real glad that they came out And SideSplitter's just a great venue. They got Dice coming up, huh?
Yeah, I have to say, looking at the lineup that was all over the wall, Dice coming in October. I saw Dan Soder's coming, Jim Norton's coming,
Duncan Trussell.
Duncan Trussell in August. So yeah, SideSplitter's is great, and they show that clip before that's just like all of pretty much the biggest comedians around the world on different podcasts and different places talking about how much they love coming to Tampa and love coming to SideSplitter's. And I really do think it's much like Austin is these days, this little safe haven for, you know, fearless, lawless comedy in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and it was great. I'm reminded every time I go there how much I enjoy going there and how I should go there more frequently.
Ditto.
They have that Notchman's fish dip.
They do, which was a delight. Man, what a treat. That was so boss. And yeah, I crossed the bridge on a Sunday, which that says a lot about it.
Oh.
And yeah.
Let's get to that.
On the way back.
This is the most amazing nature sighting that has happened since you've been on the show.
And I wish we would have been filming in the car. Don't ask me why, because we were both like screaming like little girls. Like we were like, ah, oh my God. We get over the Howard Franklin pretty much to where you're coming up to 4th Street. So eventually it's going to be like Mangrove Shore.
Yeah.
And you'll see a dolphin every once in a while. And Danielle's always looking for dolphins and I'm kind of side peering. And she's like, oh my God, there's a fin. And we both turn and it's a little bit in front of us. So I'm in the slow lane. So I kind of slow down. There wasn't many people on the bridge. And before we can even think or realize what's going on, 5, 6, maybe more fins all up in one area, just frantically stirring around in just a feeding frenzy of they didn't look super small either. Like I wouldn't have said they were giant sharks, but they definitely weren't babies, just in a feeding frenzy right there off the right side of the Howard Franklin coming to St. Pete. And
dude, that is really so cool. I'm so jealous.
Dude, I would just say now you have hope that it can happen to you.
I look every day right at that spot for dolphins. I know I'm supposed to keep both eyes on the road and I try to, but like when I see dolphins every once in a while, it makes me so happy. I've never seen a shark off of the Howard Franklin.
Yeah. I would imagine that's probably pretty shallow right there. So they're probably chasing tarpon or snook or something in that area. But I don't know that I've seen things probably that I thought were sharks or not really known. That may be the most, it definitely was the clearest, closest, best sighting of sharks I've ever had.
Other than seeing a panther, which probably isn't going to happen, I can't think of a cooler nature sighting in Tampa Bay that you could possibly see.
Maybe the whale shark.
I mean, yeah, off of Anna Marie Island.
Yeah. But still, shark.
You got to go looking for those. Like, they're not going to just show up.
Happen upon them.
Yeah, you got to take a boat like miles and miles out. So as far as something you could see while driving, panther number one, shark feeding frenzy number two.
Dude, what if you, I'm trying to think of the way of how it would help so you could see them. It's almost like you need a slingshot on the side of your car. Like if you had like a slingshot apparatus, hang with me, and you load it before you leave the house and it's chum. So it's like blood and dead fish and stuff.
Okay.
So it shoots, but it shoots on an angle and it shoots forward. So when you get right off the bridge, you can then shoot the chum into the water from your car. And then by the time you get to where the chum is, the shark should be circling and eating it.
That's genius.
I mean, in Tampa Bay, that seems like something you might be able to sell to people.
With the Howard Franklin extension, isn't part of it a pedestrian bridge?
It will be, yeah.
So then, like, I'll spend a lot of time on that looking for sharks.
I still don't know how that's going to work. Because, first of all, you're going to have parking lots and essentially parks on both sides of the bridge for people to be able to park their cars or something. And then it's like, if you cross the bridge, your only option to cross it again is to go back. So once you commit to going over the bridge, you've committed to going over the bridge and back. I mean, that's a lot. It's many miles, right?
It's many. 7 miles, if I'm not mistaken.
So it'd be 14 miles to go there and back?
That's a lot.
They need like a little, I don't know what they need.
A little shuttle.
Like
the St. Pete Pier shuttle that they
Something.
Have?
Something. It's going to be interesting to see what that's like. It's coming along, though.
John, is this new Luke Combs?
Brandy new.
Off the Twisters soundtrack, the sequel to Twister. In theaters now or in theaters soon?
No, we were actually looking it up. We want to go see it. I think it's like the 18th or 19th of July.
And the reason we're playing Luke Combs, not because we're a country station. We're not. We're a talk station. Not because John Senning loves Luke Combs, although he does. It is because our next guest is a country music fan. And we like to welcome people with the music that they like. So let's welcome to the show brand new Bolt, Jake Gensel. Hey, Jake, how you doing, man?
Good. How about you guys?
Really good. Crazy day for you. I know you already addressed most of the media, the real media, not us. We're kind of like fake media, if you will. How did it go there, and how has it been acclimating yourself to Tampa Bay today?
Yeah, it went good. I mean, it's, I talked to some of the guys this morning, this afternoon, so it's been good. I'm really excited for the opportunity, and I just can't wait to get down there.
Heck yeah.
I'm curious, every time somebody moves to a new city and they take on a new team, like, are you automatically, you got people scouting out housing and locations and things like that, or will that take a little bit more time? What's the process of, you know, officially becoming a Tampa resident?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of my first time going through the situation, so I'm not really sure. I'm sure at some point me and my wife will head down there to look at some kind of real estate, but yeah, I'm not really sure. This is kind of our first time through this whole situation, and I'm sure it'll come at some point, yep.
Jake, you mentioned it being the first time through this whole process. None of us can really ever put ourselves in your skates, if you will, but, like, can you talk about what it's like to play hockey ever since you were a little kid? You make it to the NHL, which has got to be beyond your wildest dreams, but then dealing with the business aspect of it, one day you're playing for Pittsburgh, the next day you're playing for Carolina, the next year you're playing for Tampa Bay. What's that like as a player? I know there's only so much you can control, but I'm sure some of it affects you, right?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely, it's an exciting year, but it was a stressful year. I mean, just being in the same spot for your whole career in Pittsburgh, and then, you know, you're going through the trade deadline, you see your name in the rumors, and that's just kind of a whole different ballgame. You're not really sure where you're going to go or what's going to happen. And then to find out and going to Carolina is a great spot. I loved it there. It just didn't work out to go back. And then to finally end up in Tampa Bay right now, it was just pretty stressful weeks. But I don't think I could have found a better spot for me.
Is it difficult not to take things like that personally? Because fans that don't have any money invested in it, you know what I mean? Fans tend to take it so personally. You're the guy who's being shopped around like a commodity. Are you able to separate the business end of it, or does some of it kind of feel personal to you no matter what?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's just part of it. It's a business at the end of the day, and there's going to be times where, you know, change is inevitable. So, it was different for me leaving Pittsburgh, but there's just nothing you can really do. You just go and you play for your new team and enjoy it, and you try to win there. So, glad I got to experience something like that. I thought it was great for me as a person, as a player, to kind of expand myself, and it's kind of a new challenge.
Jake, are you a beach guy? You a boating guy? Fishing guy? I mean, obviously the Tampa Bay area has a lot to offer. I'm sure you've been down here a handful of times. Is there anything you're looking forward to doing from a leisure standpoint? Once you get down to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I like to fish in Minnesota, but I've never fished in kind of like the waters like down there. So. Like to go on the beach, and that's kind of thing that we like to do. So, I can't wait to kind of experience that lifestyle and get down there and kind of check all that areas out and, really get to know Tampa.
Yeah. I'd imagine the fishing here is a little bit different than the fishing.
Oh, wait, we got some lakes and ponds too. You can catch some bass too, Jake, if you need to.
Jake, what was the impression that you had of Tampa Bay as a hockey market, as an opposing player, when you would come here and play, maybe stay a day or two? Being in that fan environment as an opposing player, what'd you think of playing the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Well, just the atmosphere is unbelievable. I've played against them, but I've been also hurt here. So I've been watching from up top, in the rink, and just outside before the games is the atmosphere is great. It's a buzz around the rink. So I just can't wait to be on the home side and really see how the fans are going to react with the players. So a lot of good, the team wants to win. They're aggressive in some of the moves, and there's just a lot of high-end players on this team that I'm really excited about to play with.
Kind of mind-blowing, isn't it, how Florida has housed the last, four Stanley Cup Finals teams, and now, three out of the last four champions or something like that. I don't think too many people foresaw that many, many years ago for the state of Florida. Right, Jake?
No, I mean, it's state of there's a lot of hockey going on in Florida right now, and it seems like a lot of guys want to go down to Florida because it just seems like it's a great place to play, and both teams are really good. So there's been a good little run here, and hopefully it keeps going.
Yep, we're speaking with Jake Gensel, signed a 7-year deal with the Tampa Bay Lightning today. Exciting player that we can't wait to see on the ice. Are you playing on the line? I mean, I'm sure it's premature to know, but are the plans for you to play on a line with Kucherov and Braden Point? Because I got to say, that's a pretty elite line.
Yeah, I'm not really sure on what's going to happen, but from my end, if I got the chance to play with those two guys, that would be pretty special from be able to play with those guys, because those guys are two really high elite players. And you know, you watch them from afar before, and you just like kind of like love watching those guys because how good they are. So there's a lot of good players, I'm sure. I'm not really sure what's going to happen yet, though.
Jake, I'm always curious, you know, what happens to the psyche of a professional athlete when they've won a championship. And in 2017 with the Penguins, you did were part of that cup-winning team. How did that change the way you approach the game moving forward? Did it give you, I'm not saying you let off the gas at all, but is there a little bit of, hey, I got this cup under my belt? Or in a way, does it just get that bug in the back of your head, like, I got to get another one of these as quickly as possible?
Well, yeah, you get the first one, you get the taste of it, you have fun with it, and you just get to realize how hard it was to get there. And you know, once you win, it's just like, oh, I want that feeling back again. I want to, because like the first time, but my first time, it was like I just blacked out. I really didn't know what to. And then you just kind of want to get that feeling again, to be able to experience that feeling again, enjoy it. Now I got a family, so I want to be able to do it with them. So a lot goes into it, but the main goal is obviously to win the Stanley Cup, and you know, I think this team can do it.
I know it's not what you meant when you said blacked out, but we were having the conversation last week about how NHL players celebrate their championships harder than any other sport. Is that an undeniable fact, Jake? And yeah, if you can take us back, how hard did you party in 2017?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just, for some reason, I like to have fun and hang out with the guys. And there's just nothing better than be able to celebrate with your teammates the way you do it in the family. So. I've been through it, had some fun, and would love to have that feeling back.
It almost feels like, obviously, as gentlemen who don't play hockey, we'll never know, but you hear people say the cup is the hardest trophy to win. Is that kind of the self-fulfilling answer on why you guys party so hard? Because you have given up so much of your bodies and your life on the way to that you finally, for the first time in all those months, get to take a breath and say, we did it, boys.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's a 9-month process. Once the season starts, then you have the whole 2 months of the playoffs. It's a, you know, it's a grind. It's tough. It's grueling. It's it's everything you want as a player. You want to play in those tough times, and that reward feeling is, there's really nothing better in the world. So, I truly believe it's the hardest trophy in sports to win, but it's definitely rewarding when you do it.
Brand new Bolt, Jake Guentzel, joins us right now. He talked about playing with Kucherov and with Point. You had the pleasure of playing with Sidney Crosby in Pittsburgh for 8 seasons. Can you kind of speak to what that's like to play with such an elite player on your team?
Yeah, it was unbelievable for me just to experience his work ethic, his, you know, just the way he thought the game and took his approach to the game. I was fortunate to sit alongside him in the locker room, so. He kind of took me under his wing. I see him as my older brother, and definitely gained a lifelong friend in him. So anything I need, I can kind of lean on him. And yeah, he definitely taught me the approach of the game, that you gotta be the harder working out there, and it's only gonna get harder as you get older. So you gotta make sure you're ready to go.
Yeah, Jake, we've heard in the past, and without being able to compare it to every other team around the country, and we've heard just the core of this team, how welcoming they are in Tampa Bay, and it really is a brotherhood, not saying more or less than any other team, but have you gotten some calls already, or are the guys welcoming you in?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of guys this morning, this afternoon, so just for me to have those guys reach out means the world. That's what you want as a new guy coming in, when guys reach out and to make you feel welcomed right away. That's what that helps with a guy like that.
Do you, what's your mindset going into that locker room? Do you try to assert something right away? Do you kind of wait to get a feel for the other guys? Like, what's your mindset, you know, once you walk into the locker room with an established team like that, Jake?
Yeah, I'll just keep my peace and just kind of keep it quiet. And then once you get to know people, then you can kind of open up a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, I'm just, it's nice that I get like a training camp and stuff like that to get to know everyone before you get into the game and be able to work with guys in practice and stuff like that. So I think that's the good thing about doing this in the summer instead of the trade deadline, is you get to know more guys during before the training camp, during training camp, in that process.
Well, I have to say, this is definitely some much-needed optimism when it comes to the Tampa Bay Lightning today. Jake, you seem like a great guy. Can't wait to see you on the ice.
Hell of a phone connection, too, great, gotta say. Yeah, one of the best guest phone connections we've had in months.
Yeah, like, we gotta talk to you again, because I don't know if it's the Minnesota, yeah, like, phone lines or whatever, but, man, it's crystal clear, and that's what we value more than anything else in this great world, of course, Jake. So thank you for that, and thanks for coming here and giving us a nice little dose of optimism and something to look forward to this season. Can't wait to see what you do on the ice in Amalie Arena.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, hell yeah. Take it easy, bud.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
A candid confession in an online parenting forum has sparked a conversation about the societal pressure to have children and the realities of motherhood. A new mom using the username BendyGirl85 opened up about feeling a deep sense of regret after having a child, despite the fact that she does love her kids. She admitted that she had never planned to have kids, but after meeting her husband, his desire for children and societal expectations talked her into it. Yeah. Is it okay or not okay to talk your partner into having a kid? She added that she doesn't have postpartum depression. It's nothing like that. She just misses her old life, filled with activities and experiences. The activities she cherished before motherhood, reading, gardening, exploring the outdoors, all seem out of reach now. People say, just do what you used to do before you had kids, but do it with them. Ugh. But I can't, she said. It's so much more difficult and not the same experience. Mm-hmm. She further confessed there were other things bothering her too. I get so bored at home looking after a baby all day. I miss being able to sleep when I want to, weekend sleep-ins. I've also never been one to play with kids. Plus, being a mom is taking a toll on me physically. I'm trying to lose weight, but I can barely fit in a 20-minute workout each day. Yep. She said to the group, you know, people throwing all sort of advice at her. Some mothers saying the same things, that they felt like their husbands talked them into it. Again, is it okay or not okay? And I imagine it goes that way, but I'm sure there's room for both. To talk your partner into having children.
No, it's not okay. It's fine to have a discussion, and if you're unsure, to chew on the pros and cons. But if your partner doesn't want to have kids, you should not try to talk that person into having kids, because there's a reason that they don't want to have kids, and they're going to regret it.
We used to have, this is her talking about a relationship, saying that a relationship with her husband is suffering. We used to have so much fun before and after work, on my days off. We got more quality time. I was always present with him, and now I'm not anymore. This is a weird thing, but Can you be talked into having kids if you don't want to?
No. If you really don't want to, you can't.
Like, that's the thing. I sometimes think about a universe where I'm still me and I feel the way that I feel, which is no, not happening.
Right.
And Danielle was not that way. I feel like, and maybe it's just difference of personalities, there are those kind of yes men, yes women who are just going to take the path of least resistance and do whatever the person they're with wants to do. I just feel like it's such a big thing, especially if you're the lady, because you're the one who's got to birth the damn baby,
right,
to be talked in to having a kid. Now, I get regret, but I also feel like there's something to be said for it, not to muddy the waters, not being okay to call out your partner for talking you into it. You either want to do it, right, or you don't.
Right. Once you decide to do it, that is 100% on you. And if it's something you're so steadfastly opposed to, then don't allow them to talk you into it. Say, look, this ain't me. If you want somebody to give you a kid, best of luck.
What do you think is more likely in the scope of all relationships across the board? A breakup or a breakdown where somebody breaks down on their opinions and they give in? Like, because I would think that it's something that you just, like, it would be a major bummer, but I just feel like that's a hurdle you can't get over. When you've got those parental juices a-flowing and you want a baby, I don't think anything's putting a stop to that.
No.
So that power is stronger than the power of, no, let's not do that. but it also feels like something that would be tough to get over, and you would more likely than not just have to part ways.
You would have to, because if one of you absolutely wants kids and the other absolutely does not want kids, that is unsustainable, because one of you is going to get your way and the other one's going to resent it for the rest of your life. And if you allow yourself to be talked into being a parent, you are not ready for the monumental life changes that come along with that. I know we were talking about you on the golf course on Friday. Oh. And like how, Sergeant Flynn thinks you would be just such a great dad because of like who you are. You know what I mean? But what I explained to him is that your priorities and your lifestyle are not ready to have a kid right now. You live for having fun and like doing things with your wife, and having a kid would forever change all of that.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's there's something deeper than that. You know what I mean? Like I think that is obviously the surface level reason, but I feel like if you don't have that burning, then don't do it.
Right.
And for whatever reason, and I don't know, I can't tell you a biological reason, I've never looked at my friends or anybody with their baby or my brother, which you think would be the biggest realization of all, and go, I really want that. You know what I mean? Like there's just something, maybe it's a loose wire or just something that I don't know. I don't know how I got to be that way, but it's just, and Danielle doesn't have it either. And I think as we get to this point to where we're both, you know, getting closer to 40 than not, if it's not there, then don't push it. And I think so many people, like, don't even ever get to the point to where they think about it.
Right.
I think so many people, like, they talk about the societal pressures. It's this pre-programmed agenda in life that you must do.
Yes.
You must go to college, whatever, get a job, get married, have a baby. It's almost as if they don't even allow themselves to think about what they really want.
Yeah.
And, I one thing that I fear in my life more than anything is regret. I don't want to think about being 75 years old and being consumed by the fact that I never had a child. But if it's not there, it's not there. And I'm also not going to force myself into a situation just because what? That's what the world tells me to do?
Okay, the world ain't raising your kid. 727-579-1025. Drew Graba live with John Senning. Who are you?
Hey, boys, how y'all doing today? It's Austin.
What up, Austin? How are you, man?
I'm all right. I just got off work, about to hit up some vacation tomorrow, you know, take some days off.
Hell yeah, congrats.
Appreciate it. So this was actually kind of an interesting topic for me. It's definitely not okay to talk somebody into having a kid, and I'm kind of in that situation, but the roles are a little reversed. I have never wanted kids. I find kids to be really just annoying to be around. My buddy had a kid, and then like the relationship, we're still friends, but it's different now. But my wife, she really, really wants kids. We've been together 5 years, and I couldn't see myself loving anybody else on this entire planet. But she wants kids, but by the time I'm about 30, 32, so in about 3 years, and I'm just 100% against it. We've had this conversation before, and it's almost ended our relationship. But I don't like really know where to go from there. But to talk someone into having kids is a big no-go. Like, you're asking someone to put their life plans on hold.
Sure.
You know, to completely change their future all just because you want a kid, because you feel like, you know, you're calling that.
But what you just said, and this comes from somebody who's on your side of the team, and I'm not saying you need to go home and break up with this woman, but you're doing the same to her. You're telling her to put her life on hold and not follow her dreams, which clearly seem to be to have a baby.
Right, and we kind of had this back and forth about it. It's just, what is she actually losing? I mean, like, you can't really miss what you never had. You're asking me to stop everything I've ever wanted to do or have done. Well,
sure, but to reiterate what John said, you're asking her to give up on her dream to, like, procreate.
Yeah, and I'm pro you, but that desire to have kids, it's actually, from what I understand, biological.
Right.
She doesn't just want to kick it with the boys on the golf course like you. Like, that internal clock is ticking, brother.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I just don't fully understand it. It's like, you're just giving up not having something when I'm giving up everything else in my life for a child that I don't necessarily want.
I totally see where you're coming from. I just think you might need to tweak that thinking a little bit if you want to stay together. But if that is a fork in your road, that is going to be a gigantic fork, my dude, because, you know, it's not going to get any better.
I think you need to, like, in that guy's situation, I think you got to go. I think, you know what I mean? Because The only thing sadder than him losing out on his alone time and his fun life is a woman who wants to have a kid and is not able to do it or can't do it because the man doesn't want to do it. And I think that's very often, a thing that happens in a relationship where someone's like, I can't give you, or I don't want to give you all of the things that you want, which is a kids and that whole lifestyle. So yeah, you gotta cut and run, buddy. Sorry.
What about couples who break up because she didn't want kids and he did, and then he sees her like in a new marriage with kids?
Yeah, that does seem to happen.
It happens.
It turns out to be more, I just didn't want to have kids with you.
Right, which that's gotta hurt. Hello, Drew. Thank you. 727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025. Okay or not okay to convince someone to have kids, to push them into it. We will also continue to take your phone calls on the Stephen Stamkos situation. Julien Brisebois expected to speak to the media at 6 or 6:30 p.m. Drew Gabba live with John Senning. Who are you?
Set of prime hours.
This is Felicia.
Hi, Felicia.
Hi. It's not okay at all.
Tell us why.
Because I got very lucky in life and I married someone who does not want kids. I've never wanted kids, but I love them. But I am world's greatest auntie, and that's about it. So we got very, very lucky, but I can't imagine if I was with somebody else and them forcing, wanting me to get pregnant or have. No, it's not in the cards. It would end the relationship immediately.
Felicia, why, if you could put your finger on it, why would you say you do not want children of your own if you seem to enjoy other people's kids?
Because I can give them back. I don't. Yeah. Me and my husband, we like to go to concerts. We like to go to Atlantic City. We're huge fans. I watch you guys on Bone TV every day while I work. Like, you guys are my favorite. So we like to do those things. We like to party. We like to enjoy our life. We have a dog, and sometimes that's a lot to board him and go through that.
I feel like you're speaking my language here.
Another reason why we're such big fans is because I listen to you and how you've always talked about, you guys don't want kids and you live your life and you're happy and you're married and you bought a house. And that's exactly, we did all those things.
Yeah.
We wanted to do all of those things together, but we just don't want a kid.
You know what? And I have so much respect for that. There are people out there who want you to like join the miserable world of parenthood. They're like, you got to join us, join us. Not me. Like, having a kid's great for me, but it is a huge undertaking full of ups and downs and stress. And it does change your relationship. If you're in a great romantic relationship with your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, when you have a kid, you have a new focus. You have something that each of you is going to love as much, if not more than, your partner. And that changes the dynamics of your relationship, sometimes for the better, a lot of times for the worse. So I have mad respect, Felicia, for you, for John, for anybody out there who knows kids aren't for them.
Yeah, and we love to hang out with them. We love, our nephew talks about us being the cool auntie and uncle. Yeah. My 6-year-old niece gets fake tattoos because we both have full sleeves and they want to be like us. And we love that. But like I said, I'd rather, go to a concert on a Saturday night than have to worry about a babysitter.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Thank you so much for the call. Have a great night, all right?
Thanks, guys. You too.
Thanks, Felicia.
And there's also, and this isn't necessarily me, maybe subconsciously to a certain extent, and maybe it's a cop-out to some people. Like, I don't feel totally good about the world. You know what I mean? Like every metric tells you things aren't great, whether it's just the dangers of general society, whether it's, impending World War III, whether it's the fact that it's never been harder to support your family and all of those things. So you're also accepting a very large obstacle to, in hoping that you can keep this kid fed and not down some terrible rabbit hole of life. I also feel like if a mistake happened and Danielle came to me tomorrow and said, I don't know how, but it happened. Yeah. And I think one of the first things we would do would be move. Yeah. I think like raising a kid in not completely off the grid, but in like a small town in a different way is so different compared to trying to make it work.
Yep.
In other places. And I just think I would want a kid that could grow up walking the, being outside and not having to worry about certain things, and I just look at the world around us, and I don't feel comfortable bringing a kid into it in the first place.
I think if I did not have a kid and I were younger, your age, thinking even about the possibility of bringing a kid in the world, I don't know that I'd do it in this culture. Like, all the things you have to worry about, from sextortion to predators to weather to the economy to political strife, etc., I don't know that it'd be worth it.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, this is a morbid thing to think about, and this isn't the reason I'm not having kids, but I think about the terror that comes along with a child.
Oh my God, yeah.
And the pain of losing a child, whether it be under many different circumstances. And I just feel like the world that exists now, whether it be trauma or abuse or, God forbid, something worse, I feel like those all have a place in the conversation. You know what I mean? Especially depending on where you live and how you're raising your kids. And it's just, it doesn't sound fun.
Plus, gone are the days of expecting that you're going to have your kid at home with you for 18 years and then boom, they're out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah. That, all that too.
You know, my kid's 21 and there ain't no plan on getting him out anytime soon. Yeah. Drew Garber live with John Senning. Who are you?
Elaine.
Hi, Elaine. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
Awesome.
Doing good.
Thank you. What can we do for you?
So I can't really answer the question because you say, is it okay or not okay to convince somebody? Mm-hmm. So that, like Drew said earlier, that's on you. You got to make a decision, you see? So it's not about convincing. If it's convincing, you should go into marketing. Because if you're able to convince somebody to have a kid, you know, you're really good.
Okay. Thank you.
Huh? Dude, unrelated to everything, are you seeing pictures of this freaking hurricane
yes.
out there? Dude, this is
gigantic.
I don't think this barring some major change in the atmosphere or something, this is nothing we need to worry about.
Right.
But dude, this thing is 150 mile an hour plus Cat 4. It's the earliest Cat 4 in the Atlantic ever. It is really setting the stage for a horrific hurricane season, just that this thing can blow up the way that it did at this time of the year. It's absolutely insane.
This thing, like the eye on this thing is insane.
It's crazy.
Drew Garber live with John Senning. Who are you?
John.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm John.
Oh,
John.
Sorry. Well, I mean, the way you said it, he made it sound like he was saying, right?
Oh, he was. He was saying, yeah. John.
John. John.
I got a twist on it. I say it's not cool. I'm in a situation where my high school sweetheart and I both wanted to have kids, and after like 3 years of our marriage, she decided she didn't. Well, after a while, I met someone, and she had already had two kids, and she had an operation where she wouldn't get pregnant again.
All right.
But she could have that reversed. So she was willing to, but kind of a hesitant to have the reversed operation, which also would maybe be 50% not still be able to conceive. So I kind of gave up on the idea of having kids.
Oh, there was a lot involved there. I'm not sure I understood what he was saying. Drew Garber live with John Senning.
Do you find it odd that so many people like can't have kids?
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be something to that. I mean, not to go full down the rabbit hole of conspiracy, but like nobody is having a harder time having kids than healthy late 20, early 30s. Like every other person that I happen across, whether it be friends and others, they're having to do the IVF. They're having to get on all these supplements. They're having to go see specialists. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't believe that in the 80s or 90s or 70s that so many people were like incapable of having kids and that they needed all of these exterior factors to be able to have a kid. I don't know what is feeding into that, but it sure does seem a lot more prevalent than it ever did before.
It does, and a lot of them are really like good people who you think would be great parents, and you wonder like why would God make you go through that much?
I think it may have been a stand-up I was watching recently, but they were pretty much saying, you know, it's the crackhead who has 15 kids that doesn't take care of them when there's no problem, but it's the you know, God-fearing good Americans who just want to bring a life that they can love into this world that seem to not be able to do it. I don't know what kind of cruel trick is being played on our society.
And it does seem like a cruel trick. Drew Garber live with John Senning.
Hey, just me. I'm Dan in Palm Harbor.
Hey, Dan in Palm Harbor. What's happening out there?
Hey, well, not much, but it's definitely not cool.
Okay.
To push anybody into anything. However, I want you to wrap your head around this, John. I'm 55 now.
Okay. All
right. And we got a couple of kids, but now we're dealing with our parents, and they're getting old and they're getting feeble and they need taken care of. What about you when you're 78 and you're hurting? You got no kids looking after you. What are you going to do?
It's funny because last time we had this conversation, I said oh, somebody will be looking out for Uncle John. And I got more than one message that said, nobody's taking care of Uncle John. Hey, I mean, that's part of it. I'm not going to have a kid so that I can have a caretaker when I'm old. Like, that seems like
that's a lame reason to have a kid.
Like the most selfish reason. Like, hey, I'm going to need somebody to wipe my ass in 40 years. Let me go ahead and pop out a kid. So I don't know. Those will be, you know, hopefully I make a go in life good enough that I'll have something in place to be able to be generally taken care of when I'm feeble. But those will be decisions that I will be living with the consequences of at some point. So guess what? There's a lot of people with kids out there whose kids don't step up and take care of them or put them into a piss poor home or some variation of that. So I don't think having a kid automatically means you're going to be coddled and swaddled and loved when you're you know, an elderly person.
Well, she got some nieces and nephews that'll take care.
Trust me, they're not. They will be. They're going to have their own lives, and they're going to probably have to take care of their parents. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer there. But by that time, who the hell knows? By the time I'm old,
world might not even exist.
Exactly.
Drew Garber live with John Senning. Who are
that's
you?
That's what I'm banking on at this point.
Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
Becky,
we're talking about whether it is okay or not okay to convince your partner to have kids.
It is definitely not okay. I have two kids myself, but neither one of them have kids. My oldest, she and her husband decided before they got married, and I check in with each other time and time, you know, to make sure they're still on the same page. And I have grand dogs and grand cats, so...
How's that? And you're good with it, like deep down inside?
I am good with it. I mean, part of me sometimes wants to be a grandma, but it's like I'm okay with that. And I think what's annoying for her is, like, you know, I come from a big family, and all of my nieces and nephews have kids. And everyone, when are you going to have kids? Or why aren't you guys having kids? And they like to travel, and they're enjoying their life, and they're living a good life. So I think it's, you know, not okay to force or to ask someone. And that's a discussion that should have been had during the courting or dating.
That is,
and be on the same page as that.
That is definitely a whole other area of conversation, because I don't think we were ever mad or, like, never really an actual issue. But, you know, before my brother started having kids, like, obviously we were the ones up. Like, we had been together for many, many years, and it was a regular conversation about when and if. And I'm pretty sure our answer was always no for the most part. But, you know, whether it be because my brother has had multiple kids now, or they just accept that it's not my mom will still poke around every now and again. And, like, I'm surprised I haven't gotten a text today, but anytime we talk about it, she'd be like, are you sure you're not thinking about it?
Fairly certain.
And I just think I get it from their perspective too. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's something that parents want. They want to see the lineage continued, and they want to be able to be a grandparent and treat your kids a certain way. And I do feel bad that we will not be offering that opportunity up.
But also
not a reason to have a kid.
No, it's not. Like, live for you, dude. Like, if Xander doesn't decide to have kids, awesome. I'm not dying to be a granddad. Like, I feel like we got the Garabo male perfect with him. No need to continue the lineage, unless he wants to.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.